The committee will come to order. There's a quorum present. Representative Erdahl. Where did he go? Representative Holland moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Nice to meet you. You want to be first?
Madam Chair.
First and more first.
Representative Shemansky.
Madam Chair, I move House File Number 541 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This is a very simple bill. House File 541 passed out of the Veterans Subdivision unanimously with little discussion, but just to review, basically, if you're a disabled veteran now, you get relief from your property taxes based on the percent of your disability. And you can see that outlined in lines 1.7 to 1.2 on the first page. The problem is when that veteran passes away, the surviving spouse, who in all likelihood still lives in the property, can only retain that advantage for one additional year, as you see on the bottom. This bill basically takes out that one additional year and says, come on, let's let the spouse, as long as they're living in that home and living singly there, not have to worry about the additional property taxes. So I know this has been a bill before in the tax committee. We're going to take it down and run it up the pole again. I just think it's the least we can do for a surviving spouse of a disabled veteran. And frankly, when we get down to taxes, what the fiscal note will be, but I have to believe it's extremely minimal. And it is paid for by the local taxpayers. It's not paid for by the state.
So, does anybody have any questions? Comments? If not, Representative Shemansky, do you want to...
Madam Chair, I renew my motion that House File 541 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The bill has been heard.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Representative Lilly.
Madam Chair, as Representative Lilly coming forward, I would move that House File 303 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We have some stuff that's coming down. Maybe it's... Is this the mine?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. Sorry about that. We have some information regards to the bill. Do you want me to go ahead while it's being handled?
Representative Lilly, why don't you just start it off with...
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, again, and members for having us. House File 303 is a little bit of an odd duck. It memorializes the U.S. Congress to appoint independent counsel to investigate the prisoners of war and missing in action issue. They have not done a very good job, our U.S. government, in fulfilling their obligation to their folks that have served our country and to us as citizens. Presently, right now, there are about 88,000 folks that are unaccounted for. Just really think about that for a second. 88,000 people are out there that that we're not aware of. Incredible numbers. About 78,000 from World War II, about 8,300 folks from the Korean and Cold War era, and about 1,800 during the Gulf War era, and then three from the Gulf War. I said it wrong. 1,800 from the Vietnam, and about 12 are currently missing. And my testifier might mention about one of them. Minnesota, our whole entire delegation from the congressional delegation has encouraged, you know, to their credit, has encouraged that they do something on this issue. What has happened is the leaders have not followed through on this. So basically there's a couple things that we've handed out today, and one is a letter from Mr. Daly, and there's some great points in there, especially if you could take a look at the second paragraph. It says, just last year at the U.S. Congress, they had 280 members of the House, so nearly two-thirds, co-sponsored a resolution to do exactly what we're talking about, and sadly, it never reached the floor for debate. And so this is just hopefully another thing to give, to encourage them to do the right thing. We had a great hearing in the division level with Cohen's committee, and Severson and Detmer, and then Mr. Representative Newton. All these representatives had some great questions because they, you know, they serve their country and have worked in these areas. And you know, Minnesota has a great tradition of you know, we were first to volunteer in the Civil War time. And I think now, again, we can be a leader and encourage our Congress to do the right thing. I know we have a lot of big budget issues that's going on in the state. It's a why are we doing this kind of thing. But I think at the same time, it's important to do the right thing, to do bills such as this that'll, you know, that really recognize the commitment and the service that these folks have made for our country. And today, I'm honored to have with me Stan Kowalski, you know, the killer. I don't know if I can call him that, but as many do, the former, you can Google him, and some of you probably have heard of his professional wrestling experience, but he's volunteered to come here today and speak for his fellow servicemen and women that and has some real good ideas, and, you know, how this is important. So thank you, Madam Chair and members, and we'll like to pass it to him.
Thank you, Mr. Kowalski.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Stan Kowalski. I'm the state commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'm a World War II vet. I'll be the last World War II veteran to be a state commander any place in the United States for the VSW. But I come here today talking about those that have not returned, and our government is falling on its backside. They made a promise, and they're not keeping their promise, and I'm hoping our legislator can drive a wedge in there, those people in Washington. We need closure on what's happening to our veterans that are not returning. One of them specifically, Commander Spiker, shot down in Baghdad. Our forces are in Baghdad, yet nobody's doing a thing to find out what happened to him. A small amount would turn some of those Arab people into a fountain of information to find out where that, and I'm saying it as where that person is, because nobody knows if he's living or dead. We know he was alive, because each pilot is a SUMA, is assigned a specific port number letter, and it was found on the walls in one of the jails in Baghdad. So he was alive there. There are pictures of him marching a pilot into the jail, and they believe it was Spiker. Now, what happened from there until today? Nobody seems to know, and our Congress doesn't seem to care. They didn't mind sending us over to fight. They sure don't mind it when we ask them to do us a little favor, like identifying where remains are. And I'm glad to see this committee moving in the right direction. It gives me faith and hope that our government is not going in the wrong direction. You people give the World War II vets the power to come on and keep going. The World War II Memorial, after 60 years, is one of the prettiest in the world. It's really great to go out there and see that they haven't forgot us, although we are a vanishing breed. We still care for our country and our fellow Americans. We would hope that the legislature would go out on a limb, regardless of what party, and tell Congress, regardless of their party, they owe us the right to have our brothers and sisters who are missing in action found to be final closure for the families that are out there. Not right to have these people every day sitting there saying, I wonder what happened to my grandson. I wonder what happened to my son. What happened to my father? It's not right to have that happening. You people can help get this train moving in the right direction by passing this bill and showing at least the veterans of Minnesota that you care and we care for you. So let's get together and see what we can do about identifying these people, these fellow warriors that are missing in action. And I will continue to hound people until I join that group of warriors that are only memories. Like I say, I'm a World War II vet. I speak with a broken voice now, but I speak not representing 62,000 VFW members, but every veteran in the United States, no matter who, would like to know that if they become a figure, that the government will step forward and attempt to identify them and get closure no matter how it is. And again, thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Representative Morrow?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for your testimony. I know that everyone on this committee honors your service. Thank you for your service. And I think that as I've noticed this committee over the last couple of years has worked hard on veterans' issues. So we thank you for being here. And I do have a question for Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly, as someone who's had a family member who was lost in Afghanistan, I know there are dangers in listing things like conflict out of the concern you may miss one. And I also understand that you explained about the different numbers missing in action and, in the different conflicts. I do also think, though, Afghanistan seems to be missing from the list. So I would just ask you, rather than respond, would you ensure that all the conflicts in which we have POWs or MIs, that they are included in the list, in the resolution as it comes to the floor?
Madam Chair and Representative Morrow, yes, we will. And, you know, some of those numbers are, you know, the current conflict, and, you know, so my apologies, nothing was meant, you know, and thank you.
Are there any other questions? If not, thank you very much for being here.
Madam Chair, I do renew my motion to recommend that House File 303 be passed and moved to General Register.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I just really want to, for a second here, thank Stan for coming down here, and what a great hero for our country. And, you know, every once in a while at this place, you know, I'm just honored to be where I'm at and to hear you say, and, you know, it's really quite an honor, I think, for us to be here, plus to know that someone like Stan is still fighting and fighting for everybody. And, you know, it's really the right thing, and a great witness for all of us. So,
and thank you again for both of you being there.
As a submarine sailor, World War II, per capita, we lost the greatest amount of casualties because when the boat went down, all hands. But now there's at least the Navy is out trying to locate where those subs are. And we hope the government be able to locate those that have been, there are so many of pieces, fragments of people at Silhai in Hawaii, the identification lab. They don't have enough money to get enough people in there to start doing DNA work on all of those people. And I'd like to just mention that if you're a mother or a sister and you have somebody in the service, make sure your DNA is filed because ladies' DNAs last forever. So, with that, again, thank you for hearing me.
Again, thank you. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I move that House File 564 be passed by committee and referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Finance.
Okay. Would you like to start?
All right. I'll begin. This is a short, simple bill. All we're looking at here is a different way to do something.
Very good.
I'm here to show you the way. All right. Whey, of course, is a byproduct of the manufacture of cheese. It's about 94% of the waste from manufacturing cheese is whey, which is basically water with some protein that is later removed. And there have been a couple of whey to ethanol plants in this country, one in California, one actually in Minnesota. And we have with us today a man from Wisconsin, Joel Van Grohl, who is going to talk to us about whey to ethanol, the plant that he has developed and the system he has developed over in Wisconsin. So I'll turn it over to him, and he can give us some explanations to you, and then we'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Would you give your name for our committee?
Joe Van Grohl, and I'm with Dubay Ingredients, a company I formed in 2002 for the sole purpose of the conversion of whey permeate to ethanol. From its infancy, I've been at this for 15 years, from the garage to the basically a large R&D plant where I'm situated now. I'm confident enough in the process that I have, feasibility-wise and process-wise and technology-wise, to take this now to the commercial level. I'm in that painful stage of capital raising right now. It's very tough, but you may have this in front of you, kind of explain how the process works, how it differentiates myself from corn, and corn, apples and oranges, and that seems to be the biggest hurdle I have is differentiating how corn ethanol is different from whey ethanol. And it comes down to the dollar figure that where I can make it for a dollar a gallon versus what the corn industry. And it all relates back to the cost of your feedstock. If you look at the current price for lactose right now, it's worthless. So I can purchase this or get this feedstock for nothing, convert it over, and get the varying products that you see on the right-hand side of that chart. And when it's all said and done, end up with just pure dischargeable drinking water. There's a lot that goes into it. You'll see with this flow chart how I go at it. I think if you look at this and walk through that, might spawn a lot of questions. So I'm not quite sure what I can tell you. I think it might be easier if you have the questions just to ask me, and I can answer them from that point. It might be easier without having to go through this whole chart.
Madam Chair, one concern in the production of corn ethanol, of course, is its use of groundwater. Even though, as I've learned this year, in Minnesota, groundwater 1% is taken up by ethanol, whereas golf courses are taken up by 2%. But with whey ethanol, you don't have that groundwater component, because basically you are making it out of the water that came from the milk.
And actually, what you can do, look at the bottom of that these plants also take up an enormous amount of water. I get that water, so as you look and follow through on this chart, I send that water back to the cheese plants so they're not pulling it out of the well or in the reservoirs. So again, it's kind of a little saying I always use, starts with cow, ends with the cow. This is a vicious little cycle, that nonstop. The products that are produced go to feed the cows, the yeast, the probiotic. You've got the ethanol. Ethanol can be sold outright. It can generate electricity. I can use that water to do the research right now that I'm doing for algae. And the algae is going for the biodiesel production and also for cattle feed. So again, everything, when it's all said and done, is being used in one fashion or form, with no waste going on the land, and ultimately taking the waste off the land. Right now, all the plants around by me are spreading this on the land, putting a manure pit wherever they possibly can. Anxiously awaiting me to get the first plant up and going so they have a home for this permeate. It is their biggest cost right now. It's a no cost, or it's a cost center for them. There is no profit. I aim to make it a profit center for them, not a large one, but it's still a profit center for them by purchasing the lactose.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Engel, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Quickly trying to read the article at the same time, so I apologize. I just have a couple of questions.
Yep.
First, there's mentioned in the first paragraph of the article about anaerobic digesters and the possibility. I assume, given the way you've described it so far, you're not incorporating anaerobic digesters in this process.
I'm opting not to do those. My version on an anaerobic digester is all you're doing is concentrating your problem. Eventually, at the end of the day or end of whatever, you've got a sludge down at the end of that tank that you have to get rid of. You just concentrated your problem throughout the whole process. You still have to get rid of that. You do create methane off that, yes. The way I've got mine set up, I'm not introducing anything that's not able to go back to the cow.
Right.
So it's all feed grade at all points. You're just merely pulling it off in certain parts of the process and giving it right back to the cow and just ending up with water.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This can be either Mr. Vangel or Representative Erdahl. We won't mention the state where you started doing this project, but I, looking at the bill, maybe this is a Representative Erdahl question. What do you foresee being accomplished through the bill? So, for example, it sounds like Mr. Vangel has done a good deal of the study, the inquiry. You received a Wisconsin grant to help you move forward. What remains to be done, and how would that be facilitated through this bill?
Thank you, Representative Morrow, committee members. I would like to see a study done basically on what works and what doesn't. We have one of the plants, I said there were two, Melrose closed down earlier this year. And let's examine why this happened, what we can do, what is the feasibility in Minnesota. We do have a lot of a very large milk and feed processors in this state, and certainly for renewable energy, corn ethanol maybe isn't in our long-term future. Maybe it can be replaced with something else like whey ethanol or some of the cellulosic. The purpose is to study this and to see what are the alternatives to Minnesota's future in renewable energy.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Erdahl, I appreciate that. I suppose maybe it's because, in part, I have one of those large milk and cheese producers in my own district that I'm trying to understand. Mr. Vangel, are you sharing his technological advances with Minnesota entities to build on those? It's a question, no, we understand the technology. We need to understand whether it's economically viable. I'm trying to understand how this would move forward.
And again, this whole thing, there really is no boundary. With this process, we have gotten inquiries from around the world wanting this process in their place. And my first four, we've got five plants in the business plan, and we're actually sharing with Minnesota part of those plants. is my goal. We have some on the western part of Wisconsin, which we would be bringing and permeate from Minnesota as well. Again, this doesn't, cows don't recognize borders, and neither do I when it comes to this. My goal is to get this worldwide. And the ethanol and everything is good. And it's a great thing. The biodiesel is a great thing. But what this is doing is saving the cheese plant when it's all said and done. That's my goal. I've worked 13 years in cheese plants and managing them. I know what their biggest struggle is, and it's that waste. So if I can save the industry by merely putting these plants up, it's well worth it. And saving the heartland of both our states is the cheese industry. And that's the goal of this. Plant after plant after plant is shutting down merely because they have no place to go with the waste. And the DNR is going to be coming down and saying no more land spreading. And what will happen is once I can get this out there, they'll say, okay, now there is an option out there for you to do something. So, for better or worse, the DNR is going to be my friend. Not too many people, I guess, can say that, but they will be saying, there is an option out there now for you.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Van Groen, you mentioned electricity production on the, and I noticed on your flow chart, it's over on the right center side there.
Mm-hmm.
How are you generating the electricity?
They've got there's some new technology out here, fuel cell technology, that now run off strictly ethanol. So this would be purely an accounting thing. Does it make more sense to sell the ethanol straight out, or does it make more sense to run generators off that ethanol? And then we would sell the electricity back on the grid. Get your own, power your own plant. The whole thing would be a closed loop plant. Sell excess energy back on the grid. Where it really starts making a lot of sense. New York, California, where it's upwards of 20 cents a kilowatt to go back onto the grid at peak time, even 30 cents. So the finances say, okay, let's sell it and make electricity off this stuff instead. And not using a fossil fuel to do that kind of generation. We're using an ethanol product. So the fuel cell technology is out there to do electricity.
Representative
A little bit unrelated question. How many gallons, and we talk about ethanol in gallons, per plant and so forth. How many gallons of ethanol could we produce, let's say, with Minnesota's milk and cheese production using the whey byproduct?
Statewide, you would be booking, that's not a lot, upwards of 10 million gallons. It is the most. Again, as Representative Earl mentioned, this is basically water that you're dealing with. 85% of it's water, so I'm dealing with that. But that 10 million gallons would take care of all your cheese plant waste problems. Now, it's a large amount of volume coming through, but again, I'm processing and sending that water back. But 10 million gallons to answer your question.
And the Chair, Representative Szymanski, currently with Minnesota and California, until recently, were producing 8 million gallons a year between the two of them. I think one was 5 and one was 3. And the capacity of the country right now, based upon the cheese production, would be about 293 million gallons. If every plant were, if all of the whey permeates that is produced for use, and that's not going to happen at the present time, but that would be the capacity of about 293 million.
So I conservatively used to say, 10 million, that's what's accessible, what's being land spread. This wouldn't be going after people that are drying it or anything along those lines, because they do have a home. It's just strictly 10 would be the floor of what's being spread out there right now.
And presently, Madam Chair, I believe that about of the waste permeate, about 42% is being used. So in some areas, roughly 58% of it is simply waste that is discarded. So most of it today isn't being used, and it all could be used in this.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one more question. Forgive me for not having had the time to read through the entire proposal here, but would these plants be set up adjacent to cheese production facilities as opposed to one centralized location in the state and trucking in the...
Ideally, what you do is you look for your biggest host plant, situate next to him, and go about a 60-mile radius to pull in other sources of permeate. You would have a host plant, and then you would strategically locate your plants accordingly. To say to have one mega plant in the state wouldn't be feasible because of trucking costs. Again, going back to trucking water. So it's conceivably to have three smaller ones than one large one is the way to go.
And Madam Chair, Representative Szymanski, I believe that in Melrose they were a couple hundred feet apart and they had pipes running between them.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Erdahl, the 42% that's used now, what's that used for again?
Well, the lactose can be used for, well, I know that in First District in Litchfield, a lot of it goes to the Hershey Candy Company. A lot of their whey goes into the Milky Way bar. Feed for animals. You got some other things you can...
Well, they'll use it as fillers in some of your puddings and along those lines. What you're seeing is when corn took a shift out into the ethanol, they tried experimenting. You don't have this chart, but this is where lactose took a big spike. Consumers or manufacturers experimented with using lactose and whey as a fuller filler instead of corn. Consumers taste it, recognized it, didn't like it, market dropped. So it's back to an all-time low of 7 years right now. And but mainly it's going for feed, and they're doing that out of necessity because these big plants have no choice but to dry it. And drying costs right now conservatively are 18 cents a pound to 20 cents a pound to dry it. They're lucky if they can sell it for 10 cents a pound right now because the market is flooded. And so, you do the math on that, we're losing 10 cents a pound.
And Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I think that when Melrose ceased operation, they were going to, what Joe was talking about, and drying the permeate and the lactose. And from what I've been told, have discovered that it's costing them more to dry it than they're getting for it. And there is now some regret that they did not, that they've gone away from ethanol. And they may be going back to it again.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Erdahl, I think as we move forward, I think one of the items that need to be studied is what's the byproduct used for? And if we do this, what type of impact would it have on, if you're talking about the candy industry or whatever the case may be, that needs to be a part of it as well. As we're moving this forward, because you have the debate in corn ethanol, what livestock producers are going through and stuff like that. So I think that needs to be considered as well. The thing that's really intriguing, like you're talking about a waste, you go back to 80s and even some of the 90s when you're talking about animal manure, and people are saying that's a waste. There's no value there or anything else. And over the course of time, we've been able to take that, which you're talking about a cost, and have actually turned that into a profit center because people recognize the value and it's put to good use.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see some benefits there as well. But we need to weigh out all across the board as far as who's this going to impact as we move forward.
And as we set this up, to kind of answer your question, I'm only looking at what's out there that they're land spreading to tackle those guys first. What I didn't want to do is create a market, so to speak, that I'm competing against myself to try and buy those lactose solids out there. There was enough out there to set up three plants with people just better land spreading it. And that whole picture, saving the cheese plant. To say I want to compete with someone that's drying it, no. I wouldn't want to do that.
And Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, that $293 million that I cited, that is from that's from a percentage that is not currently being used. for other things. That's from the 58%. And going along with another one of your points, I just, maybe I showed this to you, but I read a couple last week that in India now, they are turning cow urine into soda pop. And I've asked for some samples to be sent for the committee.
Representative Zaskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Erdahl, I'm assuming you're going to use that to wash down the peanut butter.
Did you get the jar that I put in your office?
I did, thank you. I guess the question, this is all good stuff, and I don't see any downside to it. My question is what is the role of government here? It seems that Mr. Van Grol, you're doing a great work over there, and it sounds like it's happening in other states as well. I can only imagine the propagation of information with the internet and different groups, that there's a really good amount of information sharing going on out there. Why do we need this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Jaskowski, how much did you know about this before I brought the bill up?
Representative
Jaskowski? Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, I didn't know really anything, but there's a lot of things I don't know anything about. My ability to study things is limited as anybody else in this room.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jaskowski, the point is, and a little bit facetiously, but what I'm trying to do is to raise the visibility of this, raise the credibility, and eventually the feasibility of way up and all through this bill. I'm not suggesting that even in the future that we have subsidies or anything like that. I mean, this is just basically those three areas, visibility, credibility, and feasibility, and then from there, I'd be with you. Let the free market go with it.
Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to a couple points there, I understand what you're saying, Representative Jaskowski. However, in the private sector, if I'm funding this, I'm not going to share the results with anybody because that's going to be my competitive advantage to be able to hold those results. And so it comes back to a comment that I believe Representative Miles said. As far as the information that is received through these studies, this will be public information. That's your purpose, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Are there any other questions, comments? Anybody want to testify? Representative Morrow, you want to remove? Hear it all. Sorry.
Let me renew my motion to pass House File 564 and refer it to the Agriculture, Finance, and Veterans Affairs Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Bill has passed. The committee is adjourned.